Well, we are gearing up for another false flag attack designed to provoke Iran into a full-blown war. According to sources Redacted has spoken to, key U.S. and Israeli military hardware is almost in place for this new attack. We've also learned that Russia has massive countermeasures in place and ready for this attack. And we've also learned that the United States is not calling the shots here. Big surprise. Who do you think is calling the shots? Who runs everything? Of course, it's Israel. It's Israel and the deep state war clan in the United States with the coordination of the CIA that are driving this entire move. Of course. Meanwhile, the U.S. carrier strike group now in place, ready for this attack. And according to the New York Times, which you could line your birdcage with, President Trump has received multiple U.S. intelligence reports indicating that Iranian government's position is weakening. So the CIA is telling him the truth, or are they lying to him? Where is this information coming from? Mossad? That Iran is now at the weakest point since 1979? That is the intelligence report. And then it's leaked to the New York Times? Okay. So you might as well attack right now because they're at their weakest point since 1979, says Mossad and the CIA via the New York Times to President Trump. Okay. Colonel Daniel Davis is the host of The Deep Dive with Daniel Davis, and he joins us now. Colonel, sorry for my cynicism, but I've seen this script. I've seen this script before. I'm not falling for it. What say you?
Yeah, I'm right with you. I was just nodding up and down before you brought me in here just listening to that because, I don't see any now, I'll just preface this by saying I don't have any secret information into the inside of the Iranian regime, but I have certainly been following it most of my adult career, and I don't see any evidence that it's weakening. To the contrary, I see that they used a pretty iron hand to put down a rebellion, which was, we know openly, was foisted from the outside, from the Syrian Democratic Forces in some regards, from Mossad, according to Mike Pompeo, who tweeted it out on New Year's Eve.
And Mossad, Mossad themselves tweeted it out.
Okay. Okay, well, I missed that one. But you see that when I hear people like Jack Keane on U.S. television, John Bolton, and they talk about how these poor demonstrators and these poor people, we have to go help them. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? We're the ones who have the economic sanctions on the regime to harm the people, to make them uprise, and then stir them up. And now you want to say that that's why you're going to turn them, to help them? I mean, obviously, that's when I think we get into what you were talking about at the top here, is that this sounds like a false flag situation. Maybe the false flag is not the right word, but it sounds like you're trying to dupe the American people in believing we have to go do something to help those poor people that we are the ones that put in that position, and then to claim, well, they're at their weakest point. That's what you want to be true. And I think that is the intent. That's what they wanted it to be, the truth, so these protests could rise up with all the Starlinks you saw. 40,000 were discovered. Who knows how many weren't? All kinds of fingerprints all over this. But I don't think it worked. I think that they got back control of it. I think a lot of Iranian people paid the price because they listened to us, because they tried to do it. They were put down, and now I think that there's a lot of firmness inside Iran. For example, if you didn't see anybody from the IRGC turn and join the protesters, or anybody from the government abandon the place, you don't see any of the military joining the if that was the case, then you could say they're weak. I haven't seen any of that. If it happened, I didn't see it. But I think if President Trump is led to believe that they're at this weakest point and he'll go in and just push a little bit harder and his house of cards will come down, I think he's going to get a very powerful repudiation of that in all of our faces if he tries.
Now, President Trump has said they call all the time. They want to make a deal. We think we can make a deal. I try not to read too much into what he says and instead go by what he does. But what is he even talking about a deal? Because according to U.S. government, Iran has never been proven to have a nuclear weapon, but we destroyed the one that they never were proven to have. And so, I mean, the recent military documents saying they're just still open to it. So the deal is about their attitudes. What the hell? What is this deal? that he talks of?
I'll tell you, Natalie, it's more fantasy. The Axios had a piece, I think it was today or maybe it was last night. I think there was an interview with the president yesterday. And it says that he says we're closer to a deal now. And if they'll just make a deal, I think that we won't have to use this power. And then you look at what it says the deal was. U.S. officials say any deal would have to include the removal of all enriched uranium from Iran, a cap on Iran's stockpile of long-range missiles, a change in Iran's policy of supporting proxies in the region, and a ban on independent enrichment of uranium. Otherwise, or in other words, all of the red lines that Iran said they would never do. So if you're saying that we'll have a negotiated settlement, as long as they agree to these terms that they won't agree to, then you're guaranteeing that there's going to be a military strike here. That's how I see it.
Let's talk about the military side of this, Colonel, your specialty, of course. So you're seeing these reports about the U.S. strike group already in the region, reports that we learned here at Redacted through our own sources that there's been a massive buildup of equipment. It's almost complete. It's not fully complete yet. And then, of course, we, as we reported on the Russian side, they have a pretty sophisticated response package in place. There's also separate reports, not of our reporting, but China, with big shipments of military equipment coming into Iran as well. How do you think that this all comes to pass over the next maybe few days? If the reports out of Israel are to be believed from IDF reports that we're hearing, January 30th is like a target date for this to happen.
I had not heard that date. I just cannot tell you how much I'll push against that every episode that I get on my own show to do that. But I think that when you look at what happened in June of last year, I think there are too many people in the Trump administration, maybe primarily with the Trump himself, who thinks that he did something that was easy back then and it worked, and now I can do that again and it'll work again. But the problem is that evidence suggests, and I've had at least one source who claims to have some insider information that says a lot of that was negotiated between the United States and Iran before the strike, that, all right, we're going to come in, we're going to hit this place here, we're going to hit it with this kind of ordnance, we're going to say it was totally destroyed. You're going to say, oh, we're upset, and you're going to fire back at Al Udeid, but you're going to only fire at these targets here at this particular time, and then it's going to be done, and everybody walks away a winner. Whether that happened or not, I can't say, but there's evidence to suggest that it did, because everybody seemed really eager to get over with this 12-day war. If we go in now, from other sources I have in the region right now, are saying that many of the Shia are saying this is the existential fight here. We're tired of just kicking this can down the road, because every time we agree to you with something, you unagree to it or come back with violence later on. And if we agree to something now, it'll just be a temporary thing until you come back again. We want to push for it now. If you attack this time, we are not going to hold our punches, and we are going to kill Americans in the region, and we're going to kill Israelis. And we're going to hit targets they don't want us to hit, but they can't stop us from hitting. That is the nightmare scenario, and why I am so adamant that the administration needs to not do this, because there is, understand this, there is zero potential upside for a strike on Iran. No gain whatsoever, but potentially catastrophic on the downside if things go sideways. Because if Iran does what it says it will do, and I don't know that they will, but if they do, and that real potential could cause a lot of American deaths that otherwise will never happen. And we should never sacrifice American lives because of a policy choice to take a war that we don't need to take for our national security. That would be the height I can't even think of the right word, just impudence and wrong-headedness to sacrifice an American troop because you want a policy choice that you don't need.
Can I follow up on that? And, you know, we heard rumblings obviously a few weeks ago that the reason this was called off is because Israel wasn't ready or prepared for it yet. Incoming hypersonic missiles, et cetera. There are other reports, I think Matt Gaetz is separately reporting on this, that the president of the United States actually was pretty measured in his response and was not convinced that there was a goal to be met. So sort of conflicting stories there. Like, what is the goal? Is it regime change? Right. Like, what exactly is the goal?
I would rather believe the first report that Israel said that we're not ready yet and we need more, because if President Trump at the very, 11th hour before a strike suddenly discovers that, well, what's the objective? Well, then he never had one, because right. You cannot get to that point unless you already know and have agreed to what the objective is with your military. That's why you're sending in the combat power. I can promise you, we're not sending in all that aircraft carrier battle group and all the other air power that's been flown in and got near there just in case something happens. We have an intentional reason. And if you listen to Jack Keane and John Bolton, it's absolute outright regime change and nothing but that. We know that Lindsey Graham, of course, has been absolutely beside himself in adamant, passionate proclamations to try and get regime change. So we know that some of the closest allies to President Trump want that. We certainly know that that's the case in Israel. So I don't see any other attainable military objective short of attempting a regime change with all of this combat power. But I don't see that being a militarily attainable mission at all. So I don't see any attainable military operation other than we could blow up a lot of stuff, we could shoot a bunch of missiles, we can kill a bunch of people. But at the end of the day, if you're not going to even have the threat to go in with several hundred thousand boots on the ground to conquer a country, all you can do is blow up a bunch of stuff. And then you have a situation like the Houthis, where all they have to do is not lose and stay viable. And then they can be a thorn in your side forever, because they're not going to come after us, but they can hit us in the region. And I'm telling you, the nightmare scenario is that one of our ships gets taken out because of an anti-ship missile that Iran has. And they have quite a few of them. And we minimize those to our peril.
I do have another question. Why do you think, when you study all the ways that Barack Obama tortured the region on behalf of Israeli interest, why he brought war to Syria, why he surged in Iraq, all of these reasons, but it was at least like death by a thousand cuts. It was awful and bloody and horrible, but it was more subtle. Why do you think that Israel would push Trump to do the full shebang? You know what I mean?
Because Trump will. Because Obama wouldn't. Because Obama was worried about optics, and he was worried about his domestic agenda, and he was still operating on something close to what used to be the normal rules. And so he didn't want to get too far out of those. Trump has no rules. There has no laws. He has no constraints from the Constitution, the law, anything. That's not hyperbole. And so they see that, and they're wanting to take advantage of it because they know he'll do stuff that nobody else would. And, of course, they feed his ego in that and tell him what a great president he is. And how many times have you seen Benjamin Netanyahu just lather over Trump in ways that makes me sick? But it works. And that's how people succeed, to get him to do stuff. And, of course, with all the money that's flowing in American politics, that's just fuel for that fire. So I think that's the reason why.
Yeah. Gosh. I guess, finally, Colonel, the Russian and Chinese response to this. So they're there, massive amounts of weapon, equipment, support, logistics, et cetera. Then you also have this new axis, which is really a counterbalance in the Middle East to Israel. What sort of a response do you think we'd see from Russia, China, and this new sort of Saudi Arabian axis trying to put a buffer between Israel and Iran?
Yeah, you know, I think that China and Russia will both do things in logistic help, in some supplies in the background, probably not unlike what China does to help Russia in the war against Ukraine. It's not any direct military support, but it's like dual use kind of things that they need to have to make other things. Because I think that China and Russia are both perfectly content to just sit back and watch us eat ourselves and watch us just impale ourselves in a war here that will only drag us further down and will drive a further wedge between us and other of our own allies, much less others around the world, and is making BRICS look better and better. I mean, you can see that with some of the fallout from our absurd obsession over Greenland and all the things that we were nearly willing to do with our own allies in taking something by force, even though we had an agreement where we could have just expanded our military base with no problem at all, but Trump wanted it. So now there's all these issues, you know, that have gone along with that. And we see when Trump continues to say all these, you know, harsh words against and put tariffs every time somebody does something he doesn't like against friends. And now then you see Mark Carney just signed a big trade deal with China. You see the European Union today brag about their big trade deal with India, BRICS, two BRICS companies. So I think China and Russia are going, hey, we're not going to get in the way of our enemy and you know, give them any excuse to do anything to us. We'll let you impale yourselves, and we'll just pick up the rewards and the windfalls outside of this by looking like the more responsible state. That's what I really think that they're going to end up doing.
Colonel, can I kind of chime in? Oh, sorry, real quick, just on this kind of point, because it comes up so seldom, and that's just that, like, so Israel has a pretty long-standing "we will nuke you if we start to lose" kind of attitude, and they've publicly said that. And so, getting involved with Iran, I think the state that gets left out the most is Pakistan, who has flat out said, "We will nuke Israel if Israel nukes anybody else." And so that there's this kind of like standing chain reaction of, because like Russia and China, I doubt would retaliate against a nuke, because they understand the broader picture. But Pakistan, I think, would. And I mean, if you want to see like that nuclear Armageddon chain reaction, I think it starts with that of Iran attacking Israel to the point that Israel feels threatened. Israel then nukes Iran, and then out of nowhere, Pakistan nukes Israel, and then all hell breaks loose everywhere.
Yeah. All hell would have broken loose already by that point. I'll tell you, I do worry about the first part of that, about Israel losing, because if they calculate it, I think that they may have, that one of the reasons they may have paused on the 14th of January is because they wanted more combat power and a more buy-in from the Trump administration so that the two could go all in. Because I think Israel has rightly calculated that if there is an attack on Iran, they recognize they're going to attach some missiles in the teeth. They know they can't stop them all, but they think if they had the U.S. together, that they could take out the conventional threat before the pain gets too great, and then the result will be the same. But if they have miscalculated, and we don't have the power that they think we do, and I'll tell you, we don't have the sustainment capability. If this turned into a long war and dragged out, we don't have enough missiles to be able to fire and sustain a long-term engagement. Iran may have enough to cause really big damage into Israel, and they could get to a point to where they could say, okay, all fun and games is over. That's why we have a nuclear threshold, and we're going to use it. They could do that. I know what Pakistan has said, but I rather doubt that they would be doing it, because I think that India would not want them to do it. China would not want them to do it. Nobody would want them to do it because of the chain reaction potential. And I also don't think that when it push comes to shove, that they're not going to want to catch an Israeli missile in their teeth with the nuclear capable, because Israel certainly isn't going to use all their weapons on the one strike on against Iran. So I don't think they would do it. But let's don't find out, because the if I'm wrong, like you said, it's all hell has broken loose on Earth.
Yeah, if you're wrong, we're not going to be here to call you on it, Colonel. There'll be nothing left.
And
all
again,
right.
It's based on nonsense. They're saying Iran has specifically said, we're not going to strike you. This, we're not going to do this. They never have. And so now
there's no question about that.
The Trump administration is saying we have to do it to preempt them doing it to Israel. It's nonsensical. And in fact, the leader of CENTCOM is there saying we're preparing for the preemptive strike that would prevent what they've never done. It's this such bullshit.
I couldn't say it better.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we give that a big BS, redacted BS. Thank you, Colonel. It's always good to see you.
Thanks,
really.
Make sure
you're following his YouTube channel. It is fantastic. Always breaking down the military lies one at a time. It's busy work.